not easy coming up here at any age, and even for these young people to come up here and reveal themselves in their worship. Sometimes we can be timid and sometimes we can belt it, but they did a great job worshiping. Pastor Claude, I just want to know, is that your voice she gets that from, or Mom? Praise God. If you want to move, move through me, Lord. How many of you are saying that here tonight? Praise God, praise God. I'm so desperate for a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel that God is coming back, and He's coming back very soon. I know some of you have been hearing that for years, but you can just feel it. The atmosphere, the world is just groaning and shaking. You can just feel the pressure starting to build. And I'm going to tell you that right now is a time more than ever that we need to get our hearts right for Jesus' return. Amen. Praise God. We need to make sure that we are right with Him and that we are not just riding the line, but that we are over that line as far as we can get, that we don't even want to see the line, but because, God, we want to do Your will. Praise God. And it was 19 years ago that I came into this church, actually over 19 years ago, but it's been about 19 years that I've been serving God in children's ministry, and I'm so thankful for that. And I thank you, every one of you, for trusting me with your children and our Sunday school teachers with your children, because I've been so blessed serving in this ministry. There's no greater ministry at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm sorry, other ministry leaders. But there is no greater ministry at Calvary Gospel Church. I 100% believe in CIP. I 100% believe in every other ministry in this youth ministry, all the above. But I just love the return that we get from children's ministry. And I'm so thankful that I get to serve in children's ministry with a wonderful woman that God has given me. And I'm here to tell you today that I can honestly say, of all the women that I know, and I'm not trying to say this in building her up or whatever, but my wife is the real deal. She gets up every morning and she prays. She prays for these kids and she prays for our family, and I'm just so thankful to serve with her. She's such a great woman, and I just want to ask her to come today and minister to our young people, and I just pray that you would have an open heart and receive what she has for you today. Receive what God has for you today. Amen. Please come.
On that note, everybody, you can be seated. I never know what he's going to say, so sometimes I sit over there with my head down wondering what he's going to say. It has been, we actually met through the Repkas, and then even before we were dating, worked through ministry together, children's ministry. So that's been awesome to see our progression and our growth in children's ministry. And the fun that we've had through these 19 years together in ministering. So you're probably wondering why I have a bust up here and Jenga pieces. They really do go together, I promise. So the title of my message this morning is The Emperor's New Clothes. And my scripture, I'm going to start actually off with my scripture, Revelations 3:17 through 18. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So there was a man, some of you kids may already know this story, some of you adults probably know this story, but he was an emperor. He was an emperor over this kingdom, and he absolutely loved new clothes. How many of us love new clothes? It makes us feel good, right? How many of us have new clothes that we can change every hour on the hour? I don't. I saw a few hands. My kids probably do, but I do not. But the emperor did. And every day, every hour, he would change his clothes and he would admire himself in the mirror every hour. And sometimes he even created a parade just so he could show off his clothes. He was so vain, he never met with the constituents of his kingdom. He never met with the ministers in his kingdom. And he never did any of the work that he was supposed to do. All he cared about was what he was wearing. You know, he wasn't a very smart person. He wanted what he wanted, and that was new clothes. And he hoped the kingdom would sustain itself. Until one day, two weavers came to his castle and said, "Hey, listen here. We can make you the most beautiful, the most gorgeous raiment that you've ever seen in your entire life." And of course, the emperor, being as vain as he was and loving clothes as much as he did, he was like, "Of course." He ignored the alarms going off that he'd never seen these people before. He ignored the fact that their sacks were a little light or nothing really in them. But he said, "Come on in. Come into my castle and build me these beautiful clothes, or make these beautiful clothes that you have for me." He was convinced. So these weavers went into a room and they worked away and they sewed and they weaved. And after a while, the emperor's like, "What is taking him so long?" And he sent his closest counselor to go see what was going on with his clothes. And the counselor walked in and he's looking and he's like, "Well, they're really busy working, but I really don't see anything. But I remember those two weavers saying that if whoever didn't see anything, they weren't fit to be in their position. So I really can't tell anybody that there's nothing there." And so he walked out, and he didn't keep it to himself. He went back to the emperor, and he told the emperor, "Emperor, guess what? I saw your clothes, and they're beautiful. Wait till you see them." And the emperor just got so excited, and he's just like, "Oh, yes, my counselor saw it. That means I picked a smart man to be right next to me." And so he starts to send more and more people. And more people are walking in and they're wondering, "I really don't see anything. But if I say anything, I'm dumb. And I'm not fit for my position." So they left, and eventually the entire kingdom knew of these clothes that didn't exist. And everybody went back to the emperor, and the emperor came in. And he looked at what they were showing him. And he looked. And he looked. And he thought, "Well, I don't see anything, but I'm the emperor, and everybody else is seeing it, so if I don't say anything, I'm okay. But if I say something, I'm not fit for my position." So you know what that emperor did in his not-so-great wisdom? He had those two weavers dress him. And they were excited, and they pretended to be fixing things on him. And he sat in the mirror looking at himself. And the whole time, I'm sure he was thinking, "All I do is see myself in my birthday suit. I don't see some clothes. But everybody else does, so I need to just be very, very quiet." And just like when he put on a favorite outfit, he had made a parade for himself. And so guess what he did? Yep. He paraded through the entire town with no clothes on, and his people walking holding his train as if he had his clothes on. And nobody in the town said a word. They let his emperor walk through the town with no clothes on. He let himself walk through the town with no clothes on. Now, there was a smart little boy, imagine that it was a kid, that said, "Excuse me, but he has no clothes on." And his dad said, "He's right. He has no clothes on." And so throughout the whole village, everybody started to murmur, "He has no clothes on." And eventually, it reached the emperor, and the emperor said, I don't have any clothes on, but I'm in the middle of town. What am I supposed to do? So he held his head up high. His counselors continued to carry his train as if it was there. And he finished the parade. There's a similar story, or somewhat of a similar story in the Bible, of two people, Adam and Eve. And they were in the garden. They were in a garden that had everything. It was perfect. It was beautiful. It was untainted. There was no pain. There was no sadness. They had one rule. One rule to follow, and that rule was, do not eat of that tree. But could they help themselves? How many of you guys have a house where you have a rules that you have to follow? Wow, some of you guys don't have any rules. I wonder what your house is like. Because when my kids don't follow my rules, my house is a circus. I try to use the saying that they're not my monkeys or my circus, but it doesn't work so well. But we have rules at home. We have rules that we have to follow. Here's the tricky question. How many of you actually follow the rules that your parents say? I see this over a few of you, and then some of you, I see you just confidently raising your hand. I sure hope you're not breaking the rule of thou shalt not lie. Because we've all broken a rule or two, haven't we? Even us adults break rules sometimes. Because you know what? If we go over 5 over the speed limit, guess what? We're breaking the rules. I do. Sometimes 10. But don't tell anybody. But that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They broke the rules, and then they tried to cover up their nakedness. They took some leaves and made some mini clothes, but it wasn't enough. And when God came into the garden to commune with them, he said, "Where are you?" And they were hiding. They were hiding because they realized they were naked. And he said, "How do you even know you're naked?" Well, they knew they were naked because when they ate that tree or that fruit, it showed them that they were. It showed them sin. How many of us have tried to cover something up that we've done? I have. And I am so thankful in the things that I tried to cover up or I tried to blame on somebody else that he kept my siblings safe because they were usually the ones that suffered the consequences of my choices. I was the oldest. And we lived in this house. When you looked off the back side of it, it was 3 stories high. And there was a roof peeked over our dining room. And I had this grand idea that we were going to hang something on a string in front of the window and trick Mom and Dad. Because they would have no clue how it got there. It was a newer home, so we hadn't built the deck off the back of the dining room. So the only way to get to the roof was through a bedroom window that had no roof in front of it. And so you had to climb from the window to the roof next to it. I threw the string out there. It didn't quite get where I wanted it to, so I convinced Becky to walk out there. I was smart enough to not do it myself. So I sent Becky out, and she's skimming that. I look back now as an adult, and I cannot believe she didn't fall. But I am so thankful that God had his hand on her during that time, because the story would not have been so great. So eventually she's like, "Nicole, I cannot get that string." And she's like, "And I want to come back in." I don't blame her. So she came back in, and we're sitting at the dining room table probably several months later. We have some friends over from church. Actually, I think it was our pastors from church. And we're having dinner, and somebody had to say something. Or Mom saw it or something. I don't remember what happened, but somebody told on me. And I tried so hard to blame Becky and that she wanted to go out on the roof, and that Jessica helped her by holding her hand, and, you know, the story kind of balloons out of control. There were so many that I did to my siblings, not to my kids. But ultimately, it was myself, and I had tried to cover up what I had done, and that I was disobedient, because I knew better. I knew better than to do that. And did you know that God gives us guidelines to follow? They're not, I don't like to call them rules. Because they're not really rules. there's things that he's laid out for us that if we want to be, just like that song sang, that we want to be used of him, we want to love him. And by showing that we love him, we follow what his word has said. And did you know that the devil works just like those two weavers that came in to the emperor's castle and he deceived them? That's how the devil works. And do you know what's funny is that the emperor invited the two weavers into his home. And we do the same thing. We sometimes unknowingly, because something looks so enticing, we invite him in and we open the door and we say, come on in. Come on in. Let me enjoy this chocolate candy bar that I stole from the store. Or come on in, I'm going to cheat off of this test that I see right here next to me because I didn't take the time to study. Without realizing it, we've let him in. And we say, how did this happen? Or we go, what harm can it do? What harm can it do for me to pick up that glass of alcohol, youth, that our friends sat in front of us and say, it's just one drink? Or what harm does it do to see a car with a set of keys in it and decide, well, it's my parents' car, I'm going to go for a joyride? What harm can that do? Or how about I just wear this outfit because, you know what? It doesn't matter what other people think. They need to be in control of their own thoughts anyways. We've allowed Satan to use us as a vessel. Are we careful with what we pop into our Blu-ray player? Are we careful what we have on our Google Play? Are we careful what we have in Netflix? Are we careful what we allow in our books? Are we careful with the rules that we've chosen to break, no matter where we are, no matter what situation that we're in? And just like the emperor, he was stripped of the clothes that he knew clothed him by two people that deceived him. We strip ourselves of our spiritual clothing that we know are protecting us, that we know are keeping our family, that we know gets us to heaven, to replace it with clothing that the world says is okay. And I'm not talking the physical clothing, I'm talking the spiritual clothing. And then we stand here just like the emperor with nothing on. Every time we choose to participate, we strip ourselves. We know we're not right, but somehow we convince ourselves, well, everybody else sees it, so it must be there. It must be okay. We're standing in the middle of everybody, and we realize we're not dressed. We're standing at the altar with nothing on, nothing. And everybody around us sees that. And we don't know where to go from here. We're the emperor. We've let everything be stripped away. And the rest of us as parents, as mentors, as teachers, as people that love each other, we are the constituents in that emperor's castle. We are the townspeople who watch that person slowly strip themselves, and we say nothing. We say nothing to them because we are afraid to be that person. We are afraid to be that person that everybody says, it's them. I don't want them to say anything to me. I don't want to be the person that, oh, there's Miss Goody Two-Shoes. We don't want to be that person. And then we see that person at the altar 7, 8 years later after they've walked out the door. And our hearts are wrenched. And we wonder what we did. I wish the story had been different. I wish the emperor had right away, when he saw there was nothing there, had said something. I wish right away that even somebody who knew that he wasn't before he walked out in front of anybody knew that he wasn't naked or knew that he wasn't dressed and told him. But it didn't happen. We're going to have Abby come up for the altar call. When we choose to take off our clothing, it's kind of like our Jenga game. When we choose to take away the things that God has put in our place, or we choose to do those things, and we choose, let's see if I can play this game, choose to steal something, our base becomes a little bit more unsteady as we slowly try to pull it out. We try to sneak something. We're pulling it out little by little. We allow that book to come in and distract us, to let something in. We decide to be disobedient to whoever it is, and we take it out. And then we decide, who needs prayer? That definitely takes out a whole lot more than just stealing. It's getting a little bit more shaky. We're becoming a little bit more unbalanced. We disregard that we need to read our Bible. We disregard that we need to come to church. We disregard that we need to be a Christian. And what happens? We've become stripped of everything that we have. Let's go ahead and stand. If there's something in your life, if there's something in your heart that you've allowed to sneak in, maybe it's nothing big, but you're looking and realizing. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that you've let them strip these things away and you've said nothing. I'd like you to, guys, we can clean this up later. Go have a seat, please. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you need a refilling, if you just need to talk to God or you need Him to provide something for you, I'd like you to come forward as Rick takes over this morning.
Praise God. I'm reminded of a game that I used to play with my friends when I was little. Many of you boys probably know this. When you take a new pack of gum your mom would buy you, and you go up to your brothers, you'd already eaten that gum, right? But you took the time to fold that gum, right? You took the time to put it back in the pack, and you went up to your brother and you thought, hey, I'm going to fool him, right? So you pull that piece of gum out and you say, you want a piece of gum? Oh, yeah. You can see his mouth start watering, right? Because he really wants that gum. And then you get him because he goes to grab it and he feels it. What happens? His fingers smash together, right? We like to have fun with that game. But that game is an analogy of what can really happen. Like Sister Nicole is saying, when we stop praying, when we stop reading God's word, when we stop having that relationship with Jesus, on the inside, it's taken out. Amen. There's something missing on the inside. You may be able to carry on, and everyone around you sees you, and they see, and they think you're all together. They think, oh, he's doing good, or she's doing good. They still got it together. Yeah, I see them at church every Sunday and every Wednesday. But you know what? Inside, they're empty. Their heart is breaking. The Bible says that when we receive the Holy Ghost, that God takes our stony heart and He gives us what? A heart of flesh. But you know what? Sometimes we go back into life and we can pick up things in the world. We can pick up sin. And our heart is something that we can't see. But we start getting callous. We start getting stony heart. And then we start to lose our passion. We start to not care anymore for the things that God once cared for. The things that when you got the Holy Ghost that God gave you. He gave you a love for the lost around you. He gave you a love for His word. He gave you a love for relationship with Him. I remember when I first got the Holy Ghost, the commitment that I made to the Lord. I didn't want anything to come between that. I cherished it every moment of my life. I cherished it. I wanted so desperately to go to heaven. But sometimes we can go through our lives and we can lose sight of the main thing. Amen. We can think, oh, we can have this life, but we can also do a couple of other things. And the next thing you know, it may not be bad. But when we put it before the Lord, it can get bad. Amen. So I want to give everyone an opportunity right now. I think that the Holy Ghost is moving. I think that God is talking to each one of us here today in this place. I think that God is revealing some things to some people. And I'm praying right now that you would respond to the Lord, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. This altar area is open right now. If you want to come up here and seek the Lord, maybe you've never had the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've never experienced the new life that God can give you. God can take away your stony heart. Maybe you're so overwhelmed by the burdens and the cares of this world that you are here today and you're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Come before the Lord and lay it at His feet. Praise God. God wants to give you the ultimate treasure that you can ever have, and that is His salvation. Praise God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. God has something special for you. Don't lose sight of that because of something that you want to just smuggle away from God, that you want to sell out. God is here in this place and He's crying out to you here today. Come, lay your burden at my feet. I care for you. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, take away this stony heart. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've allowed to come between us, Lord. Go ahead and pour out your heart to Him. It's called repentance. Just seek His face and begin to lay it down at His feet. You may not know what to say. Just come before Him. Don't walk out of this place without talking to Him. He is in this place. He cares for you. Hallelujah. He loves you. You say to yourself, Brother Rick, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things that I've been doing, but I don't care, because I know my God. And I know that He is a loving God and He loves His children. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't miss the opportunity to come before Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. Maybe it's been a while since you've prayed in the Holy Ghost. Today is the day of salvation. Come before Him and just say, God, I need You once again. Praise God. We need to get to the place where we seek Him daily, where we fight our battles on our knees. We are called out of the world, out of darkness. Praise God. If you've never been baptized in His name, you've never had that gross sin washed away, you can do that here today. The Bible says repent.